Bring the council meeting to order at 6 p.m. Call for a moment of silence, please. You can stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Just a quick bit of housekeeping. If anyone has any electronic devices, we would appreciate it if you would turn them off during the meeting. Roll call, please.
Dennis Olison.
Here.
Bonnie Onion.
Here.
Harry Robinson.
Here.
Mary Lou Stewart.
Here.
Paul Greeno.
Here.
Charlie Hawkins and Steve Lawrenson have both requested to be excused tonight. Okay.
I would entertain a motion for Charlie Hawkins.
Motion to excuse Charlie.
Second.
All in favor? Say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Say nay. Motion is carried 5-0. Entertain a motion for Steve Lawrenson.
Second.
Motion has been made and second. All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carried 5-0. Next item on the agenda is audience participation. We have a sign-up sheet if anyone wishes to speak this evening. Address the council. Thank you, Sherry. First item, first people on the sign-up sheet are Alex and Francis Staley. Is that correct? Alexis.
Mr. Mayor.
Alexis, I'm sorry, and Francis Staley.
Mr. Mayor, if the folks here for visitors could speak after the presentation and leave the audience participation to everyone else, that would be
Thank you, Raven. We are going to have a presentation on the Vista Terrace ULID later in the agenda. And if you wish to speak to that item, we would appreciate it if you would hold your comments until that agenda comes up on that item comes up on the agenda. Okay? Is there anyone else would like to speak to any other issue other than the ULID? Hearing none, I'll close the audience participation. Next item on the agenda is written communications. Do we have any written communications?
We received a letter dated January 26th from Richard Sturgill regarding alternatives to access to the fishing pier, and a letter dated February 1st from Gloria Tennyson regarding personal property.
Okay. Have we responded to Mr. Sturgill's letter?
We have not.
Okay.
I'm inclined to consider Mr. Sturgill's testimony or his letter to be a comment on the alternatives. We were requesting people submit comments. That will all be compiled and provided to
you. So that his comments will be added to the comments out there?
Yes. Okay.
When will we be getting those comments?
After the 1st of March. The website is open for comments until then, and we are giving a presentation this week at the Senior Center. We're still actively trying to get more comment in from folks.
Okay.
The next item on the agenda is the Vista Terrace ULID. It will be a review of the community meeting on February the 1st, 2016. Mr. City Manager, will you be?
Mr. Mayor and Council Members, so this is a follow-up from last Monday night's meeting. We said to the community, we would bring this back to the council for tonight's session, so we're here tonight for that. Just as a clarification, this is an informational meeting. It's not on your agenda for any action. There will be actions later on, which John Sitkin will address to you. Raven's going to provide a presentation kind of reviewing what we did talk about last week and answer any further questions. And then John's also here to respond to any legal questions or respond to the council regarding the formation of the ULID. Then, of course, staff is here to answer questions you might have otherwise. Okay?
Fine. Thank you, sir.
So I'll go ahead and start, and as the city manager indicated, there'll be some time for Mr. Sitkin to chime in, and then we'll welcome the public to come back and provide you any testimony. As city manager indicated, this is not a formal hearing, it's just information. Our intent is to report on the meeting held a week ago, provide some answers to questions that for which we did not have answers, but we are going to go through the entire presentation again. One thing that I'll point out is if there are places where I made any changes based on further input or another question, I try to put that in blue instead of black, so it'll stand out a little bit, and I'll try to point those out as we go. So this is an outline of the meeting. We talked a little bit about the purpose, which was to provide information about the project and get questions from the public. We did some introductions of staff. We did have a sign-in sheet. We provided some rules for speaking, providing the 3 minutes per person. And then we went into a formal presentation that had a timeline of the project. We had some legal questions, financial questions, process-related questions, and then public questions. So we're going to add on to that a little bit tonight. So first, starting with the timeline, the project was conceived in 2010 with a council resolution that set a public hearing date for the 24th of January in the following year. As a part of that notice, letters were sent to property owners, two public meetings were held, informational meetings. We had an affidavit of the mailing, an advertisement in the paper. And the public hearing was held and then continued until the next meeting, which was a couple weeks later. I wanted to just lay out the framework of the area of the ULID, and so this is the assessment area in red and the proposed sewer lines in green. Just to give a bit of an update on septics in the area and part of the reason this was formed, we have a total of 60 properties. That includes two properties that can be subdivided and the amount of lots that they have. A total of 53 homes in the area with a resulting 48 septic systems, of which 31 of those systems are either put in before permits were even required or prior to 1985 standards. Anything before that, or anything after that, excuse me, is considered quote-unquote modern. And at this time, five of those people are on sewer, and there's four vacant properties. So to break this down a little bit further, one of the comments that was made was that there was only one property that had a failing system. Actually, there was one property in 2010 that had a failing system. That's here on the bottom in gray. However, there were two failures prior to 2010, one here in the county on 8th Street and one here on the bottom of the project, also connected via 8th Street. Since that time, since the ULID was formed, we are aware of two other failures, one on this lot 5, and the newest one is up here. So you can see this one is part of a pre-1985 system, and there is definitely a feeling, and there was at that time, that more failures were imminent, and there was definitely some evidence of that through the construction process. LIDs are something that we have done historically in Blaine. All of these shaded areas are LIDs in one form or another, water, sewer, something along that line, and street as well. So now I'll get back to the timeline.
The LOD ordinance was passed on the 14th of February in 2011. In 2011, the only proposed funding for the project was bonds. That was another question that came up in the other meeting. We selected an engineer for design, and that kind of rolled us into 2012, at which times GFFs were reinstated, and that effective date was for the 1st of January in 13. So we gave people several months to get their building applications in. We decided at that time to look to alternative ways of funding, possibly some economic assistance funding through Department of Ecology, and also were able, probably one of the last few contracts through the Public Works Trust Fund, and that's a loan. That's not a grant. In 2013, we continued steps to secure DOE funding, and at that time, we were contacted by folks on Allen Street, one relating to a possible septic failure and the other relating to a new home that was going to build a septic. And so we decided to fast-track Allen Street, which was the simplest part of the project for design, and get that built first. So we created a phased approach. So in 2014, we were able to secure the DOE grant of $395,000, and it was a MAT loan grant combination, so $405,000 of that was in loan, and the council adopted by resolution to accept that money in May of 2014. We held a open house after the contractor was selected, and we knew more about a schedule, and we started phase one of construction. 2015, we finished design of phase two. Again, once we knew who the contractor was, had another public open house to inform the public about construction, and we did phase two. I should add that each of these open houses, there was an update on funding. And so I'm going to show a slide a little later on that shows the communication that was provided at those meetings. So looking at next steps before we close on the timeline, the project is substantially complete. We have our final construction costs in January. So we sent out a notice of sewer availability, which kind of starts a clock for people to connect. That letter was also sent out in January. In February, we're hoping to finish the administration for the project, which will hopefully finalize the design and consultants' fees. They need to create what we call record drawings for the project, so there's going to be some later invoices, so we want to capture those, and establish final costs in order to schedule the assessment hearing. Our hope is to do that in March. At that time, the final cost per property will be determined. A yearly payment schedule will be provided, and we will also provide, when we send out that notice, public hearing instructions. So again, we're hoping to have that in March, adopt the ordinance in March, which then starts a 30-day period to pay off for people that don't want to pay interest. And then a year from that date is when the first ULID payment is due. Now, one thing kind of important to understand relating to the funding sources that we went through for this is that the city is already paying the debt. When we did phase one, we spent those monies, and so now that the debt has already started in 2015, and we'll have 2016 debt as well before we get ULID payments. So looking at what was proposed originally versus what was ultimately acquired in funding, as I indicated before, when the project was originally proposed to council in 2011, traditional government-issued bonds were considered to be the funding source. Because of the small nature of the project, our bond counsel was advising us that it would probably be in approximately an 8-year bond and at interest rates exceeding 5%. What we were actually able to obtain is essentially a 19 to 20 year payback at a much lower percentage, as well as having the grant that has no payback. So I did a side-by-side comparison here. So the original estimate is on the left, and the open house communications are on the right. So originally, the estimated share per lot was $11,931. That was what was in the resolution as the project estimate. The current estimate share per lot is in the realm of $14,000 to $16,000, which then relates to an estimated yearly payment. So with the bond, with a shorter payoff period, the yearly payments would have been in the realm of $1,500 to $1,800. With our extended financing, low interest financing, that's more in the realm of $900 to $1,100. The equivalent monthly amount, again, much higher with the original estimates, and largely because of the short time for the financing, the equivalent monthly amount we're projecting is still in that $75 to $88 amount. Now, at the time that the resolution was passed for the ULID, the GFF amount was set at zero. After the GFFs were reinstated, and I want to emphasize it wasn't until after the GFFs were reinstated that we were able to obtain a grant. And that grant was a hardship grant, which by paying the GFF for every property in the ULID essentially makes that amount zero. It was always represented that hookup fees would be borne by the property owners. It was our hope and conveyed in the public meetings that we may have project dollars left in the grant that might be able to help with hookup fees. It was never a guarantee. It was always communicated as GFFs or hookup fees. And we decided to go with GFS because it's one way that we can be completely equitable amongst all the property owners. To do hookup fees when one person has higher fees than another, it's much harder to administer. And similarly, a lot of people might be deferring, in which case they won't have hookup fees for several years. So is it fair to pay their neighbors hookup fees when they're not going to receive that benefit? So we decided that the best use of the grant was, and the most equitable, was the GFF. So the questions in black are all questions that staff generated and conveyed at the meeting, and so I'll just go ahead and answer those. First, what is the total cost of the project per ERU? ERU is equivalent residential unit, which is how we communicated the assessment would be made. Early estimates were definitely less than they are now. We're still somewhere between $14,000 and $16,000 per ERU, probably closer to $15,000. These are rough estimates. The final number could be higher or lower, and it'll be determined when all the work is completed and you, as the city council, adopt the final assessment roll. Next question, how long do I have to pay it back? Property owners are being advised that they can pay all of the assessment within 30 days with no interest under the law, and then they can pay in yearly installments, including admin and interest potentially, over installments established at the time of the assessment roll. So that would start 1 year after the roll is adopted. While there could be 20 annual statements, there is no problem with a property owner paying more. We also asked if the property was sold, would we require it to be paid off? And the answer was that we wouldn't, but most banks would. What's the annual payment? I think we've covered that. That'll be dependent on the final cost, somewhere between $900 and $1,100 per year. When do assessments start? I think we covered that, within 30 days. And then again, on the yearly plan, not starting until 1 year after the final assessment roll. Do I need to pay hookup fees? Hookup fee is generally considered the GFF, and the city council may use to use grant funds to portion, to fund a portion or all of the GFF, and our recommendation would be to fund all of the GFF. Is there an interest payment? Yes, if a property owner wanted to extend the payoff of the assessment beyond the 30 days, an interest payment could be required. And then the final question is there financial assistance available? And so we provided some information on the fixed income assistance that is available through the state. Some people may qualify under the law for reduced sewer and utility rates, and this criteria is set up by the RCW. So we did ask our bond counsel if the city could provide an alternative form of financial assistance, and unfortunately that is not available to us by law. It's only available to first-class cities. So legal questions. I will turn that over to Mr. Sitkin.
Good evening, Council. Again, John Sitkin, City. I'll speak into the microphone. Okay, thank you. John Sitkin, the City Attorney. Thank you, Council. So can the ULID be dissolved at this juncture?
If anyone is having difficulty hearing, we suggest you move up a little closer. I know it's...
I'm into the mic and I'll speak loud.
But if anyone's sitting in the...
Can the... thank you, Council, and I'll speak loudly and into the microphone. The legal question, can the ULID be dissolved? At this juncture, no. There was a process at the time of formation that would allow citizens to come forward within 60 days to restrain the formation of the ULID, but now that it's been formed, it cannot be dissolved at this juncture. Did the city follow the required steps? The proper notice was provided and publicized in advance of the hearing. I've seen those declarations in the record, and the formation of the LID followed the required steps. Is there a reason there was not a vote? There is no required vote of the people to form a ULID. That is a vote of the City Council, and that vote did occur. I think in the record there is some discussion about the possibility of an advisory vote. The Council at that time, prior to the formation, could have deferred the formation of an ULID, waited for an election or special election, paid the cost, usually $30,000 to $50,000, to conduct an advisory ballot, but that's not required. There were a couple of open houses to the public prior to the Council having its public hearing and making a decision to form the ULID. Can properties be added to the ULID? At this point, no. The infrastructure has been developed and installed. How are the assessments divided up? There are a few methods that are allowed by law, and I'll touch on those. The proposal here, I believe, is to go by an ERU basis per property, owner per property. That's kind of a common way in some of these circumstances where the benefit of a sewer connection is on a per ERU as equivalency basis. There are other mathematical methods, a front foot, lineal foot, that's not viewed as fair in a sewer system in a residential area because just because someone has 80 feet of frontage versus 50 feet of frontage, someone should not have less or more when the benefit of the sewer connection would be relatively the same since the properties can't be further subdivided. Same issue with the area per square foot method or what's called a zone and termini method, which is you grade valuation based upon distance from the frontage and you have a scale back in zones, if you will, that go back. And again, just because someone may have different area of land or a different degree of fund footage isn't really appropriate. The per unit parcel is what we're really doing here with the per ERU connection. You can also go through a more detailed process where an expense that goes to the LID, not to the city, but goes to the district, and all the members of the district would pay for it if you had an appraisal to each lot. But that appraisal cost would go back into the LID and be assessed against all the property owners. So you typically, in the sewer extension type cases, would see a per ERU type connection. So I try to address how assessments are divided, and that's done at the final assessment roll, which is presented and noticed to the public. Property owners affected will receive a mailed letter of the hearing, and there will be a hearing on the record that parties can come in and protest before the City Council their assessment that's in the final assessment roll. That final assessment roll, and I'll have a little, this is on your website. I thought it was really good. I have a few extra copies for the audience. I only printed 15, but I'll make sure the council gets some. This outlines the process. And so where we are, where we've done the left to right line on top. The improvements have been constructed. The turn is being made, and they're coming down now around the home stretch. You're getting ready to issue bonds to pay for the LID, and your final assessments are being determined. It says by appraisal, but again, that's not necessarily required by law to do by appraisal at this point. So the final assessments, the total project costs, are being compiled. Once you have all those together, the project is completed, and you know, retainage is done, bonds released, all the costs are in. You now have a final number. Then you can go through and do the final assessment roll. That final assessment roll will be notified and mailed to all the property owners. There'll be notice of the hearing, and then there'll be a hearing before the council, and that will be the hearing where protests are taken. Comments made at last week's meeting, comments made tonight, are not formal protests on the record. They do not count for a protest under the record. They have to be at the hearing or when the hearing's been announced, because we don't even have the numbers to protest today. So, again, the council will set the final assessment roll hearing date once the assessment roll's been prepared. That'll be a hearing on that, and then after that, the council will pass an ordinance confirming the final assessment. As mentioned earlier, or maybe I would just point out that you have a net, if you will, that's for the final assessment roll, a total amount. That district will pay that amount. Once you've set that, if you lower A, you either pick up that from the general fund, or it's that reduction amount is spread through the rest of the district, and the other property owners' assessments go up. So the district functionally pays that all, unless the city out of the general fund pays a portion. Does the city require the payment of the assessment at the time of sale? And Raven addressed that properly. The city does not require the payment at the time of sale of property. It often occurs because a bank, in the financing of the sale, says we want our new buyer to have it clean from the assessments. So the bank may require that payment to occur at the time of sale, at the closings. How can I defer hooking up? I think that's an issue you'd be working out with the city. The city will have a process for that. If the GFF is receiving a credit, then they've locked in, is paid, and that GFF amount has been locked in. At that point, once it's paid, or whether it's through this grant funds, then there would not risk the increase even if you deferred. If you didn't use the grant funds to pay the GFF, and it's kind of jumping to the very last question, then the GFF could be raised in the future based upon city costs and your capital facility planning. And if they had deferred their hookup and it increased by $2,000, they'd be paying the increased GFF. So I'm jumping over the financial system question, but there is no vesting in GFF. Like, there's no vesting in impact fees. You don't vest in the GFF. You pay the GFF that's in place at the time you seek your building permit. So in this case, if you use the grant money to pay for the GFF, it's been paid. So they have a GFF connection assigned to the property that's already been paid. If you don't apply it, then it's not paid. And if city raises the GFF citywide in 5 years, I'm making up a number, no reason why I would think it's this number, but if the city raises the GFF by $2,000 in 2021 and they deferred it and they hadn't connected, they'd pay the new fee. That's the upside of using the grant fund to pay the GFF plus, so it's locked in. That's the benefit for those to defer. Is there financial assistance available? No. Raven addressed that. The state legislature hasn't granted authorities to cities that aren't of the first class, like a Seattle. Grant, the city also, like all municipal governments, operates under the state constitution in the limit on lending credit or donation or prohibitions of donations. So the city cannot spend money out of its general fund for private benefit. So you can't go onto the property and build someone a pump system. We violate the state's constitution. Financial assistance in the forms of city using its general fund for a loan for that would be a violation of the lending of credit provisions of the state constitution. So you can't do those. You just don't have the authority, and you'd be in violation of law. So I think I've addressed the legal questions, unless you have questions for me, Council.
Questions? Anybody from the Council? Questions? Okay, John.
So a few more questions, and then we'll get to actually the questions from the meeting last week. So first, how are design decisions made? Typically, as occurred in this case, design decisions went through city engineering and then a review process that was brought to city council to determine the final project. This design followed development guidelines and industry standards for depth of sewer placement and so forth. We decided to get a twofer and put the electrical conduit in, so we were ready to move forward with getting electricity to these properties. I wanted to make sure that I clarified, because I don't think I said this last week, that electric conduit was bid as a separate schedule in the bid. So this is not going to be a part of the assessment. So we cannot mix electrical money and sewer money. So the electric fund paid for that. Do I have to pump? Some will, most won't. We did as much as we could by gravity, within reason, because the deeper that you go to try to get more people on gravity, the more expensive the construction. And so it really is a judgment call. We estimate at this point about 12 properties will need to pump out of the 60. How much does a pump cost? Our assistant director went to 3 vendors locally and found pumps, grinder pumps, costing in the range of $500 to $1,000 for equipment. And we did not do independent estimates on installation costs, just the pump cost. Why don't I have Blaine Power yet? Well, as I indicated, the conduit was installed as a part of the sewer. The city tried earnestly to negotiate with Puget Sound Energy and ultimately decided that they were just leaving too many risks in the acquisition of their old system. So that's when we decided to move forward and start doing our own. And at such time as we get that wire pulled, we'll be working with PSC to cut over
to our power. The property owners will benefit from the power line being underground, at least up until their service. And we hope to have everyone in Vista Terrace up with Blaine Power by the end of the year. Will there be a connection fee to connect to Blaine Power? And the answer is no. If you're currently served by an electric provider, and if you're switching over to Blaine Power, that was a decision that you made at the last council meeting to change the electric code. The other qualifier on that is that property would have to be in the city limits, which of course all these have. So if there's a vacant piece of property that's not currently served by power and they come in to build, they will need to pay those $651, I believe, connection fee, but no one that has an existing power service. Costs on connecting to sewer, I think we covered that in a previous slide, and I apologize for some of the overlap here, but we wanted to make sure that all the questions that had a follow-up in this meeting. So when do I have to hook up? Is there a deferral process? So as I indicated, the sewer availability letters went out last month, which normally starts a 60-day requirement to connect. However, due to the wet season, the deadline was extended to May 1st. So after which time there is a deferral process if the septic system is in good condition. One of the questions that came up, and I'm going to just move right into it, but there was a question relating to what defines good condition, and I'll just stay in line, which will answer the question, does deferral process only apply to modern septic? So I'm not bouncing around quite so much. So this is the deferral process. The systems would be assessed by the Whatcom Department of Health, and if they do not meet standards that are eligible for deferral connection, if they do meet standards eligible for connection, they would not need to connect unless it was later determined that it failed, unless there was a change in ownership of the property, or if there was a reconstruction or improvements greater than 50% of the value or addition of bedrooms, which generally means you're going to have more demand on the system. The qualifier here is by Department of Health. So we were not able to meet personally with the Department of Health, but we've made contact with the Department of Health, and we will be providing much better qualifications by what standards they will be requiring once we have had that meeting with them. So I'm recognizing that there's some confusion there, and we're working to get that answered. So here are the public questions that came up a week ago. One of them was, why was the same engineering company used for H Street as used for this project? The concern was the H Street project started under budget and ended up what it was budgeted for. My response to that is that as required by state law, we select consultants by qualifications. It was determined that this consultant had the best qualifications of the consultants that submitted to do the work, and they do have a very good track record with the city of being a very economically priced firm, and so we went with them for this project. There was confusion regarding the language we used to define when a property would be eligible for deferral, so that is what I just attempted to respond to, really saying that the health department is going to have the ultimate decision, and that we're going to make sure to work with them to make so that these deferrals are handed out in consistent and fair manner. So that's a follow-up question. The RCWs addressing ULIDs clearly state the apportionment per affected property cannot exceed the benefit or increase in the value of the property. How many appraisers does this as a citizen have to get to say that the city did not increase the value of their property by putting a sewer system in front of it? And the question was asked, if appraisers say it increased in value of $5,000 and the cost is projected to be $15,000, will the city go with that or does it go to court? So the benefit to the property has to be looked at over the long term. The cost of maintaining and replacing a septic system will need to be taken into account. Experience, and this is based on both of our bond attorney and our city attorney, is that in nearly all cases, the benefit and cost of connection to a sewer system outweighs the cost and liability of maintaining an ongoing septic system. So that's an update on the previous response. Next question was from a property owner raising a concern about lack of communication regarding homeowners who are paying sewer fees and that are already hooked up and who paid their GFF. Would someone please contact her? This particular property has some very unique and specific circumstances. I have spoken with the property owner. She is here tonight if she chooses to ask any further questions, but we will continue to be in touch and provide better communications. Because this property owner is already on the system, I think it fell off in, on some of the communication channels. And so we will continue to do that. She also asked if she would be allowed to speak even though she lives in the county, and we assured her that you are always open to public speakers. All right, next. Did the people who are bordering on H Street have an assessment or GFF? What if you have a home that borders both the 8th Street side and the Vista Terrace side and or Allen Street? Do you have to pay twice? This is a three-part question. Is your home, if your home is within the LID and you don't hook up but run to the 8th Street line and hook up there, do you still have to pay the LID? And so the answer is that if your property is in the LID boundary, you pay the assessment per GFL. So you're running on two streets, you don't pay two assessments. It's just per, sorry, did I say per GFF? I meant per ERU. We have way too many enactments in our world. So you don't pay two assessments. If the property is connecting onto a different street other than the street that they front, it doesn't change the fact that they're part of the ULID. And so the question was asked, is there no advantage then to hooking up on 8th Street? So at the meeting, I didn't have or wasn't aware of any advantage, but I wanted to make sure to clarify this. There is no advantage to connecting on 8th Street unless by doing so it allows for a gravity connection where connecting on Allen didn't. However, private easement would be required and there might be more piping involved. So that is a that's an issue between the property owners themselves. The city does not get involved with that. Six, when it was originally proposed, they, meaning the city, were waiving the GFFs. A lot of people got on board with the LID. Since then, they're no longer waiving the GFFs. Does that not seem unfair? If it can change one way, why not the other? The grant money was supposed to be applied to construction or ULID costs. So this question has, I think, has been answered in a lot of ways this evening, both by our city attorney and myself. I think that it's very important to know that the grant money was never specifically stated to be for construction or ULAD cost. It was always indicated that we have an opportunity to reduce hookup fees or hookup costs and or pay for construction. And the majority of the property owners that responded to our survey wanted to reduce their upfront cost, understanding that that would be a higher assessment. All right. Also, just wanted to confirm that the grant wasn't part of the financial picture when the ULID was formed. Let's see. Can the ULID be a tax write-off since it's basically a tax? We had to follow up on that question. We spoke with our attorneys, and the answer was the property owners need to talk to their own tax advisor. However, we do not think it's likely. Question 8, there are now new potholes and puddles since construction, and 3 to 5 years from now when the city needs to repave, will we need to pay for that? So first of all, if there's any defects relating to the construction, the contractor is responsible. They have a warranty of their work, and they understand that to do the patch at the time of year that they did has risks. So we will be pursuing them with that. In relationship to whether or not the city would require property owners to pay for future potholes or street improvements 5 to 10 years from now, the answer could be yes and could be no, but it's very indirect, and it really depends on what we do with future street funding. In the past, we have put funds towards street maintenance and repairs through a bond that's assessed on properties. We're now looking to bring a TBD, or a transportation benefit district, to the voters, which would spread that cost of maintenance of streets and paths to people who are spending money in Blaine, which include all the people that are buying gas and milk and other products here. We will definitely be, it'll be a very open and public process, whatever we do. And if the community determines they do not want to do future bond for street improvements, then there might not be street improvements near their home. All right, number 9, would we please confirm the property owner has the option to pay off all the assessment and what financing period is going to be? So I think we've conveyed that tonight, that property owner has the option to pay off the assessment at any time, and the finance period, if they choose to go with that, is 20 years. What if a property owner cannot pay in 30 days? Is there interest that would need to be paid off? What if you get an inheritance? So I think we've also covered this previous questions. Let's see. ULID, whether deferred or not, is due. The answer is yes. However, the financial decision about all of the assessment will be part of the public hearing process. How much is budgeted to push the utilities through Lincoln Park from the end of G Street? Is it going through the park? How many owners is it going to serve? Why not make the developer pay up front? So first of all, the answer to how much is budgeted, at the last meeting I said $300,000. The amount is actually $350,000. That was my error. Is it just going through the park? And the answer is yes. In fact, at some point in the future, we will need to either run a parallel pipe to G Street or pipe burst to G Street. But we're choosing at this time, since we don't need all of that capacity, to just do the section in Lincoln Park. How many property owners are going to connect to that service? Well, right now we are the only property owner. It's our park. But we know that there are over 400 building lots approved for development west of Harvey Road. So connection of these properties is necessary if we're ever to see a reduction in our sewer rates sometime in the future. And it's also important to know to have affordable housing that close to our community is also going to bring other benefits to the city, like increased property taxes for services like the police, schools, all of that would benefit from having more homes. So in terms of what the developers are going to pay, the developers would be responsible for building the sewer that fronts their developments as well as the sewer that is within their developments. And each of the people connecting to that sewer will be paying the GFF if the council keeps the GFF. Just like the city is paying for that sewer that fronts our own property. So it's like for like. We're only taking it to the point where it comes out of our property. And then the last question. Drumroll, please. What's going to happen to low-income individuals who cannot afford to pay for this? Is the city going to throw them to the curb? We didn't have a great answer for this at the last meeting, and we don't have a great answer for it at this meeting, as we have learned that the state really has tied our hands in terms of what assistance we can do different from what they already provide. However, I wanted to show some conclusions and then take you to some next steps. First, the city followed the law. I think that's been established by the record trail as well as our city attorney. Fact, the cost came in above our initial 2010 estimates. In 2010, the economy was down, and a lot of different things have taken place since then. The phase one was below the engineer's estimate, but below the bid amount. That's true. The estimate was $240,000. The bids came in at $219,000, and the actual was $191,500, more or less. So phase two came in above the engineer's estimate, but it also came in below the bid amount. So the engineer's estimate here was $424,000. The low bid was $522,000, and our staff has worked diligently to keep the final project under $500,000. What is the reasoning for this? I think, like I said, it has a lot to do with the economy. If we didn't push phase one out, I am certain that the cost per foot of phase one would have been more. So as an example, the phase one cost per foot was $133 and phase two was $185 per foot. So if we had waited, we could very likely have been paying that $185,000 for the 1,400 feet that we did in phase one. You can't say yes for yes. Different areas were different in terms of their difficulty. That's why we did Allen Street first, because it was more simple. But those are my assumptions. Right now, engineering costs are also under budget by about 16%. It's not final yet. We still have, like I mentioned, record drawings to do. But we're still hoping they will come in under budget, and that will be reflected in the final assessment. And I wanted to also clarify that estimated costs did not include interest or administration fees. The city would be hiring a third-party administrator to do the billing and the tracking of all of the people that are doing this on time. So there's a cost to that. So what I wanted to say as my last conclusion here, though, was the public was heard. We brought these cost concerns to our bond council and city attorney. We had two department head level brainstorming sessions on what can we do to help. So first, what have we already done? Well, we've already obtained this grant to cover the cost of the GFF. The other thing that most property owners are not aware of is that the H Street portion of the project, which was intended to be in the assessed cost, has been absorbed by the sewer fund, which is over $100,000. That action was taken pretty early on by city staff. We just decided that was the right thing to do. Possible other actions for use of the GFF grant revenue, and I'll invite John to pipe in at any time here. First, you can do nothing. That money would be applied to sewer capital reserves and used for future sewer improvements or paying down sewer debt. Which leads right to the next one. Those reserves can pay down project debt, thereby reducing assessment, but that would need to be done in an equitable manner. Can't reduce one person more than another. You also can use those reserves to pay down other sewer debt. If other sewer debt is paid down, we might be able to look at lowering that sewer rate someday. Other options that we've discussed is absorbing the loan interest. Using rate revenues, the city finance director has determined that we would be able to absorb interest
fees so that property owners that are, can pay up front are not paying less than property owners that are paying on time. So that is something that you can ask us to do. Other alternatives are to pay down the project with other city money. I put a big note in here. There really isn't other city money to do that with, nor is there sewer money to do that with. And then just to repeat, because I really want to make sure that people know we looked into this. We looked into, can we adopt our own financial assistance program, take that money, put it in a pot, use it as an assistance tool for anybody that wants to connect to sewer, and we can't do that. Finally, and I stepped out of turn. John's popping up here, but the other thing that we are not allowed to do by law is to lower the assessment for some and not others. Did you have a
question? I just want to clarify, just to make sure the slide everyone heard this. So under the second bullet there, with possible other actions, to take you through the step of how the process would work under these three sub-bullets, you have the grant, $395,000. If you apply that to pay the GFF for the property owners, those funds then reside in the citywide capital reserve fund for sewer. It's the sewer reserve fund for your citywide. It's not a Vista Terrace reserve fund. It's those funds that everyone through the city, when they pay a GFF, the city uses its capital fund for any deferred maintenance on the treatment plant and the other projects that have to go on to the city, why you have a capital reserve. So Vista Terrace property owners would have the GFF paid by the grant, and the $395,000 would go to the sewer reserve fund. That's a citywide fund. You may use those reserves to pay down a portion of project debt. So the city would essentially, and taking a number, and this is not the numbers of the final assessment rule, I'm just for the sake of argument and discussion, you have a $1 million project. If you took $100,000 out of your sewer reserve fund and paid down the project debt, now the final assessment roll would be $900,000. So you can move some of that reserve funds around, but understand you've got a broader business picture to consider, that you're managing a sewer facility and you want to make sure you have adequate capital reserves to go forward for the system, and you're not just managing Vista Terrace. That's clearly a significant question and concern of the property owners there. One of the concerns for you amongst many questions you have when you operate a sewer system. So you can, I just want to tell you how the money flows for that. So the GFF would be paid down by the grant. Those funds end up in the sewer reserve fund. Then you have some discretion on the sewer reserve fund. We just emphasize that I would tell you that's in a larger business management question. The project debt is one of the questions, but not the only.
Thank you, John. So our next steps, well, we're here. We're reporting on the context of the meeting last week. We'll be scheduling the assessment role hearing, and of course we remain and will always remain available if anyone has any questions. So to that, I would turn it over to you, Mr. Mayor, to see if there's questions of council, and then open it up to the public.
Dennis, Raven, there was a series of questions. Can you go back to those? I'm looking at number 10. There, you just went by. If at any time they can pay that off, is that correct?
Yes, sir.
And they will only have paid whatever the interest is up to that point?
That's correct, just like any other debt.
Okay.
No penalty.
Hmm?
No penalties.
That's correct. We have verified that with neither funding source are there early payment penalties.
Any other questions? Okay. First of all, I'd like to thank all of you for being here. We're always delighted and thrilled to have people in the audience, so thanks for being here. As John has outlined, we are now at the assessment stage of the plan. And there will be a public hearing very shortly on the assessments. This is not the public hearing tonight. And so this is really just for information purposes. Now, Raven and John, I think, have tried to provide you with all of the information that we have available. If there are any questions that have not been asked and answered, now is your opportunity to ask them. If there's any information which we've provided that you don't understand or have questions about, we would be glad to clarify it for you. So I'm going to open up to the audience. We've had this. This is really a continuation of the meeting we had the other evening. So we've covered most of the ground that you asked us to. And so I would just ask that we try not to be repetitive on any of the issues that have been discussed previously. So with that, I'll ask, it's Alexis and France Staley, if they would like to come forward. Alexis, would you be kind enough to state your name and address for the public record, please?
Absolutely. My name is Alexis France Staley. I live at 4427 H Street Road. I'm on the wrong side of H Street. I have two questions. Since we paid on our property the GFF hookups and have been paying sewer for 19 years, and now we're going to pay for sewer again, can this be done to us again? Can the ULID be expanded again? I could see us racking up 20 grand here, there, and whatever down the road.
Mr. Mayor, can I respond?
Yes, would you please?
So what you have been paying for the last 20 years has been your sewer rate, right? You haven't paid an LID assessment to date. There was a one-time GFF.
But we paid a GFF. No, I just want to know.
The answer is it, no. Right? We can't, just like we can't add properties or take away properties or cancel it, we can't repeat it. I guess, if we all live long enough for that sewer to fail, maybe. But
I won't live long enough to pay it off.
That long. that sewer should last the next 50
all right.
to
100
years.
So we're done then. This is it. My second question has to do with administrative costs. I believe there was one of your slides you showed that the administrative costs contract, and that's pretty much finalized. And I was wondering if you could give us an idea of what the cost for that's going to be and also what it might include. And that's it. Thank you.
Mr. Lazenby, do you want to tackle that one or do you want me to?
It's projected or estimated it would be around $50,000. For the admin costs, and that would be for the period of 20 years for the project. Give me a moment to look it up. Would be about $833 per ERU. Per ERU.
And that would be for the 20-year period?
Yes.
Okay. The next person to speak is Don Shruck. Don, if you would be kind enough again to state your name and address for the record, we would appreciate it.
Don Shirk, 675 Allen Street, Blaine, Washington. I spoke 2 weeks ago at the council meeting, and handed in a list of names for people to ask to possibly do what Mr. Sitkin said at the end, use the GFF money to pay down the ULID costs. I now have an amended list I will give to the blank senior moment, Sherry, for the council. The city has the option to pay a lot more of this. First off, let me back up. I want to thank the city manager and others for arranging that impromptu meeting last week, quick as it was. I'd really like to thank the four council members that took the time to come and listen to the people and what they had to say. Now, the city is looking to put a utility expansion through Lincoln Park, and you can give all the reasons in the world. Bottom line, that extension is for developers in the future. It's actually going to service absolutely zero residents as of right now. You have 60 properties up in Vista Terrace that, with people actually on the majority of them, and that you could service. Since this East Blaine was annexed into the city 20 plus years ago, we now pay the city of Blaine taxes and receive virtually nothing. In fact, I take a loss every year on the amount I pay from the city to what I receive. I made the statement 2 weeks ago, it was about a 20% difference on electricity. It's 35%. I ran the figures for the past year in my house. My house is new. It's energy efficient. I also have natural gas. It cost me $400 extra last year because I had no Blaine City Power. Extrapolated out over 10 years, that's $4,000 for me. You got people in Vista Terrace, it's probably $15,000 to $20,000 since that annexation took place. That annexation took place on the promises of developers that they're going to put in this many lots, this many lots, this many. And absolutely none of them have come to fruition in 20 years. For this city to spend $350,000 for the potential for another 200 or 300 lots, let's wait till it's there and you make the developer pay for it. That's what a prudent city council would do. I figure in a year, it costs me $936 extra to live within Blaine city limits than if I lived within the county. I pay $651 a year in city taxes, and for that I receive a saving of $115 on my water. I also pay storm sewer bills, and I'm the one who has the storm sewer because it runs down the street and into my lot because I happen to live on a lower end of the street. I put the sewer in for there so that my house doesn't drown. So when you look at the whole net thing, it's time this council repaid the city the annexation of East Blaine and start doing what they've promised. I've been in my 10 years, I've been to two meetings where they were promising the power is just around the corner. How many in the 10 years prior? I've got no idea. Public Works Director was pretty loose on some of her facts as far as sewage areas and that up in Blaine there. Pretty loose. And that's the trouble. And now you put an administration fee on. When do you quit moving the goal lines? Why are we having to pay you guys to do your job? It's like the county health department. And you have to file your septic inspections. If you do your own inspection, you have to file it. There's a $35 filing fee. What for? For them to do their job? Why are we paying for that? That's part of the overall taxes. If we have to pay for those extra people, what are you paying these people for? One of the things the city manager said last week, which was a real surprise, and again, I thank him for having that meeting. One of the things he said was, and I never thought I'd hear this from a city official, common sense. we don't see very much of it from the city, especially things running a sewer line, power lines, whatever other services through a park for nobody. Not much common sense. Thank you.
Thank you, Dale. I'm going to need a little help with this. At my age, you have trouble seeing all these things. Travis, could you please tell me your last name?
Seibel's last
name. Seibel? Okay.
Travis Seibel.
Okay, if you'd state your name and address for the record.
My name is Travis Seibel. I live at 9733 Vista Terrace. Quite honestly, most of my questions were already answered in your presentation. I just had a couple quick things. First, I'd like to second what Don said. A couple questions I have. Do we have any timeline of when the Department of Health is going to get back to us?
We're trying to get a meeting with them this week. Yeah.
Okay.
So it'll be our intent to, and maybe I could put a little list out on the side there and contact people that are hoping to get a deferral. And so I'm getting back to you faster.
Sure. And it's just because it's, I heard the date, I guess, moved a little bit, but if this is due in 2 weeks and first we're still on balance that we know of, plus I haven't heard anything from the Department of Health. So, anyways, that's the only question I had. You answered all the other ones in your presentation. But thank you.
Thank you, Travis. Next on the list is Dave Notar. Dave, if you'd be kind enough to come forward and state your name and address for the record, please.
My name's Dave Notar at 9722 Vista Terrace. Like the other gentleman said, I do thank you guys for coming to that meeting. I know it's an extra thing out of your schedule with all the other city happenings. So back when the concept for bringing the sewer to the terrace area, the homeowners of the area were not properly informed. I've been up there for 13 years, and something like this I would take much interest into. I don't recall any letters or anything to know that there was something like a ULID coming into the area. The few that did have knowledge of this concept was informed that there would be no GFF. We went through all that cost. Lower the city had to form an ULID, limited to zero support of the homeowners of the area affected, that what everybody's been saying at the last few meetings. Bring this up to the date, homeowners are now responsible for, we don't know yet, $14,000 to $16,000 debt for the city infrastructure, over $7,000 for the hookup fee, or GFF as it's called. Fees and costs of the actual hookup with a due date of hookup by the end of basically next month. The cost of the hookup I've been hearing from my neighbors is $2,400 to $6,000. Kind of depends on which side of the road you're on. On Vista Terrace itself. I haven't really heard what Allen Street, how they're doing. That's just to get the pipe from the house to the sewer system. The grand total cost with the estimated numbers is $24,000 to $27,000. This is easily the cost of a new septic system, let alone basically throwing away the investment we've already made when we purchased our homes or built our homes and put a septic system in. We are basically throwing that away. So we've lost all that money that was invested into that. As the city manager pointed out, and kind of thrown in her face, everything was done to the law, but that was establishing the ULID and forming it, which is lies in the problem and information actually getting to the homeowners that if that information got to the homeowners of the estimated cost, what that would cost, we're going to be, I don't think very many homeowners would have got behind and supported a ULID. It doesn't make sense to spend that kind of money on something that we're going to have to pay a service fee on every month when we could have replaced our system for less money than what this is costing. So with the cost of the laid out, at the last meeting, each homeowner would be a new monthly bill with the payment for the UID and the $99 fee. We're looking at $175 to $200 more a month for our cost of living. Plus, they have to come up with the $2,400 to $6,000 to actually hook to the system. And so we'd have to come up with that money before the end of next month, basically. Projects, I understand, is not even complete. And due to the housing market, there are already homes that owners are backwards in this neighborhood. The increase in value would likely to be fifth of the cost presented to us, the cost of the ULID and all these hookup fees. We'd be lucky if we get a fifth of that back in selling our home. It's going to drive people further behind, reducing or eliminating any equity in homes. For me, this will probably put me at almost zero. And possibly forcing some to foreclose. I know of a neighbor who's behind already because of how the market went. He bought in the 2008 era. He's lost a lot of money into his house now, and this is going to put him further behind. So what's his point in keep going backwards? I mean, at some point, he's just going to have to say enough's enough and walk away. And I doubt he's the only person on the street or in this area that's like that. So the Department of Ecology provided a grant for the GFF. Tonight was the first I've ever heard that it could be spent any other way. Since that did not exist during the inception of this ULID, I ask you as council, take the money that never should have been planned on being used, ask the council to use that money to pay for the ULID, which is the city's infrastructure, also to push off the date of hookup to 1 year after the project is complete. That'll give people time to absorb these additional costs and better weather to do the work in. Right now, it's so saturated in the grounds, which is, from my understanding, is the reason why this project is not even complete. They can't dig. Right now, I mean, as it is right now, my front yard is basically a mud hole as is. So digging a ditch across it, I really don't want to do. Plus, I don't even have a finished cost of what everything's going to cost, but I have to come up with basically, I'm lucky I'm on the right side of the street for once. Mine is going to be roughly $2,400 to hook up. And I'd have to come up with that by the end of next month, get the contractor in there to have that happen.
Excuse me just for a minute. Ask you a question. Is your septic system modern? Or is it?
My system is not. From what I understand, it's considered modern. It's pre-85.
It's pre-85. And is it functioning?
My system is functioning.
So it's my understanding, if there's a functioning system, that there's a deferral process?
Yes, through the county health department. And like I said, I'll
put that's still up in the air as to whether they're going to accept that, as you guys keep saying. And you guys have been saying modern system.
Right.
So I didn't know I had that option until.
Okay, and that's why we wanted to clarify that tonight.
But leaving something like that up to the Department of Health, I mean, I'm not betting on anything pre-85 is going to, mm-hmm. they're going to let fly. Well. Considering we've already had our system checked 3 years ago for the Drayton Harbor issue.
Well, I would say if you've had your septic system checked and passed within the last few years, you got a good
had their septic system passed stuff. And any issues is like you're saying, failing septic systems. Well, everything fails. The city of Blaine's sewer system has failed at some point. And what do? We fixed it. It's no different. Just because a septic system failed does not mean it's a bad thing. Bad system. They can be fixed. I just asked the council to absorb some of the costs for the city's infrastructure. This is the city's infrastructure, and I think the city needs to pay for it, or at least a good majority of it, especially for us that we didn't need it. We didn't ask for it. So I thank you for your time, and I do appreciate the extra effort you put into coming to the last weekend. I know how meetings go, and to put adding more to your plate, it just sucks, but thank you.
Dave, if you want to go, if at any time you want to go over any of your costs, I'm sure our city manager, David Wilbrick, would be glad to sit down with you.
Well, it sounds like we'll finally get a finish, but from what your letters say, I have to be hooked up before that finish cost even happens.
If there's anything you need to clarify.
Yeah, yes, I think that, so what is within 30 days of the assessment, which is what we're hoping will be in March, the only thing that is required within 30 days of assessment is if you want to pay your assessment up front, which we've actually already indicated there is no
a penalty for paying early, so that requirement is really... So the only other thing that you need is to apply for your referral. There's no requirement that you hook up. If the deferral process doesn't work in your favor, we extended that deadline to May. And if more property owners feel
that... May is not that far. You're looking, that's the end of next month, essentially. May 1st is the end of next month.
No, it's March.
Nope. That's March, so the end of March. May 1st,
there's April.
Boom, right there. So we have a month and a half to get all this done.
If,
right?
Yeah. If, yeah, if council asks us to add more time to that, we would.
But it still doesn't account for how many people have $2,400, $6,000 sitting in their pocket to do this. I mean, that's not a cost, and I understand that shouldn't be a cost to the city, because that's from us to the service. That makes sense. So we have to come up with that quick.
Thank you for your comments, David.
Thanks.
And I would encourage everyone in the audience, we are going to have a public hearing. And that public hearing should be approximately how long? Another month?
Yeah, we're hoping for March. It could be April.
Could be April.
Yeah.
Okay. And we'll have the...
And it will be noticed.
Public hearing on the assessment. There will be a notice. And you'll have an opportunity at that time to put your comments on the record. And... be able to deal with it at that time.
One question I would have.
Those who are here want to make sure they're noticed. If you're a property owner on the assessor's records or treasurer's records, one of the two, you'll get notice. But we'll have a list out. We can put a couple of paper out, so if you want to share your notice, put your name, address, and information out, and then we'll get that to share it.
One question I'd have is on the GFF. Even if we do the deferral, can the GFF be paid?
The GFF, as we currently propose it, will be paid at the time of the project. So it's the way that the letter is worded is that any fees that go up beyond, so if it goes up in 2 years to by $2,000, all the property owner would owe is that $2,000. So that initial...
So if it's paid, it's paid, whether you're hooked up or not, right? So why would it change if it goes up? We've already paid then. We've prepaid, essentially.
Do you mean...
If it was paid, it was paid.
Okay.
Right. It wouldn't go up. If the council decided...
Okay. We're getting into the nitty-gritty here. We're getting in the weeds.
So if the GFF, if the grant is used... pay the GFF, and it's been paid in full. It's been paid.
Been paid. Everybody's been paid.
If you use the grant to do something else or proportion it, then it's not paid, and it could be increased. But that's one of the benefits to the property owners, is to use the GFF to pay and then fix, close out, use the grant to pay the GFF. So that's one of the special benefits that you don't then, it's not only locked, but you don't have to pay.
So then it'll be up to the council what they do with that money.
Yes.
So that's $430,000, essentially. And then if you get all 60 of these individuals on, if you get all these 60 individuals on, you're going to pick up $70,000 a year in fees. So it will quickly be paid back. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Dave. Now, is there anyone else in the audience that would care to speak at this present? Mr. Liebert?
Mr. Mayor, so you know, we put a yellow sheet back there. If people want to specifically ask for notice, they'll put it there. We'll get that to Sherry, so it's on a notice.
Does everyone understand that? If you want to make sure that you get a notice, please leave your name and address, and we'll make sure that you do get a notice.
And we will check the records with the county to get the assessor's records, and that's who's required to get the notice, and that's where the mailing will go. So this is just kind of the double suspenders and belt.
Mr. Liebert, would you like to come forward and please be kind enough to give us your name and address for the record, please?
John Liebert, 9721 Vista Terrace Avenue, Blaine. My proposal is for you to kind of try to think out of the box.
Hard for us to do.
Why not finish the five-year moratorium on GFFs? Add 2 years to that. I mean, put the 2 years that we changed from no GFFs to GFFs for hookups, and which would take a lot of stomach on the part of the council to go back to no GFFs in the city limits of Blaine for a two-year period. Use that money, and I don't know if that's legal, to pay towards the actual sewer cost of the $15,000 per person, and then see how many become really active to hook up quickly within that two-year period, and see what that does, or at least look and see. I don't know, Jeff, if there's any record as to what the city may have lost in the three-year time that we didn't have the GFFs. I know that I was on the council when we suggested that we have that, and that's just another possibility. And so I don't know if we have the stomach to want to try that. But
what was the number on that approximately?
Do you have any idea what?
I have it somewhere.
We did the analysis. We
did the analysis. We'll have to look it up.
I just would like to, you know, look at that and see if that's a possibility that might help appease the Vista Terrace people. That's a little bit out of the box.
I agree.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, John. Now, is there anyone else that would care to speak? You're welcome to come forward, and please come forward. And be kind enough to state your name and address for the record, please.
My name is Joe King. I own the house at 9764 Vista Terrace. I would like clarification from the city's legal. The city manager responded to my question last week that you have to take to consider the value of the LID over a 40-year period. That's not what the RCW says. Am I reading? Is that correct?
It's you're talking about the assessment based on
you need to
you're asking about what the are you asking what the assessment is based on the special benefit of the property?
The RCW says the benefit to the property can't be exceeded by the So if they're raising the value of the property.
Let me put it the way we would describe it, is that the improvements are to be a special benefit to property, and that increase in value, thank you, the increase in value of the prop to the property value from the improvements, that's the special benefit. So the assessment can't exceed that special benefit, the increase in value to the property improvements. So when you do that, you can look and say, what's the value of a sewer line over time to the property, because that is a value that would be respected today, because a septic system someday will be replaced. Some will have ongoing maintenance costs. So our experience in bond council, I spoke with bond council yesterday about, or Friday, about this specifically, in that her experience, what my experience I've seen, is that quite often the value of a sewer line in front of a property that has a septic system does exceed the benefit. The assessment is less than the benefit to the property, meaning the cost of assessment here, let's say it's $15,000, is generally less than the value of the improvement, the improved value of the property. Was I clear? Mm-hmm. Muddled that language. I really muddled it up. Okay.
What you're saying is he's right and the city's wrong.
No, it's not. He's right. So the value, the special benefit. Yes, the increase in the value of the property from the improvement
that special benefit is to exceed the assessment brought by the LID. Okay? The experience we've seen is for a septic system that is property that has a septic system, the question is, well, I don't have a benefit because I already have a septic system, so therefore I shouldn't be assessed. That's often the question. That isn't the experience when you get it appraised, that the value of a sewer line in front of an existing service system by septic, the cost of the assessment is usually less than the increase in value just by virtue of a sewer line being in front of a property, even though that's already serviced by an existing septic system. That's been our experience in talking to appraisers.
Okay, I talked to three appraisers.
Okay.
They told me the opposite.
Okay.
They said it was a great deal.
Okay.
And they were familiar with the blame market. They were certified appraisers.
Okay.
So I guess we go to court.
Well, there will be a hearing, and you can bring the protest, and we'll go through that process and look at it.
Okay.
I believe there was another gentleman that would like to come forward. Again, if you'd be kind enough to state your name and address for the record, please.
Sure. Tommaso Vanelli, 9732 Vista Terrace. So I'm new to the neighborhood, just the last 5 years, so I don't know a lot of the backstory. But it seems to me that the city council should consider that they're in the public trust here, and the added costs of this improvement should, to some degree, I think we'd be borne by the town. So if the grant is used to pay the GFF, then the town is making a big chunk of money off of that grant, and I think it's only just that it comes back to the residents, who are then going to hook up eventually at some point and start paying into the sewer system at a cost that's considerably higher than the cost that we've been dealing with currently. I have a pre-85 system. It's passed inspection ever since I've lived there. That means that system's been working fine since well before 1985. It may fail tomorrow, but it doesn't look like it's anywhere near that. And, you know, we're going to have to pay, what, $1,200 a year to hook up the sewer. That's maybe a benefit environmentally, but I think the city and the public trust ought to consider ethically, not just legally, to help the residents up in that neighborhood, considering it's been 22 years that they've been annexed and there's not a sidewalk in sight. You know, I have an 18-month-old that's a pretty risky proposition to walk around with my child in the neighborhood that I have in my house. So I just urge the council to consider these in making a decision.
Thank you. Appreciate your comments. Is there anyone else in the audience that would like to come forward? Yes, sir. Again, if you'd be kind enough to state your name and address for the record, please.
My name is Richard Ekrit, and I live at 457 Allen Street. My question is on the location of the stubs that were installed along Allen Street. No one asked me where they might be put to maximize the benefit if we have to put this in. My house is far below the street grade by probably a good 25 feet, so I'll have to pump up to the line if I need to. However, where they put the stub will have to go through two concrete slabs under my house and around two corners to do it. Or if they put it in a different spot, it would have been a straight shot from A to B. I'm wondering if the city is willing to compensate me on the difference of the costs. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. I don't have the answer to your question, but I'm sure we'll get someone on the staff to look into it. Now, is there anyone else that would like to make a comment? Yes, sir. Again, please state your name and address for the record.
My name is Dan Scher. I live at 531 Allen. I want to say thanks to Dave for everything he's been doing. He's been really stepping up, I think, and giving us some information that we wanted. I just wanted to inject a little bit of the personal problem with the sleepless nights and us trying to decide on how we're going to come up with this money. And, you know, there's a bit of personal stuff that goes with this. You know, it's caused a little grief in the house and some point of contention around the place. You know, we talked about selling the house, getting out of there. We're being forced to explore different options that we weren't prepared to explore. And I just wanted to convey to you guys that this is a personal thing to us neighbors. It's not just about the numbers.
Yes, sir.
But, you know, we've had very little say in this, and we're being kind of pushed into spending some money, and it's been stressful. And I just want to convey that. Thanks for your time.
Thank you. Now, is there anyone else that would like to come forward? If not, yes, sir. Would you like to come forward? I haven't missed anybody, have I? Yes, sir.
I'm Bill Bender.
Hi, Bill.
My address is 9725 Vista Terrace. I really shouldn't be here. I'm not prepared. I don't know what you're talking about. I was never contacted by any city service or any meeting. I just came here by the encouragement of a fellow resident up there. I don't understand your terminology. I don't understand if the complaints of the last meeting and the complaints of this meeting are meaningless, and only will the next meeting be effective. Why did anybody ever talk? Because that's all I heard. But I've never been assessed of having hard hearing. Never. I heard about one-third of the words of anybody. I heard John Liebert, all the rest of the people. I don't know if you're hearing me, but I don't. How can I assess what you're going to do to me or to my property if I don't know what you're talking about or I can't hear? I guess I have to get some hearing aids, but...
Well, I apologize if you're having difficulty hearing.
I was encouraged to buy a piece of property. I'm on the city sewer. I was encouraged to buy it because the city was trying to encourage development. I spent $250,000 to build a house. And when they came to appraise it, it was $50,000 less than I paid for it. I said, well, what about, I'm the only guy on the city sewer. They said, that doesn't make any difference. There is no advantage to being on the city sewer. If I knew that living in a house required all this hullabaloo and assessments and whatnot, I wish I'd never done it. And if I had an option, I'd leave. Because I'm retired. I have fixed income. I don't have money for $12,000 here and there. And if you want to assess my taxes or whatever, do it. But I'm not going to pay it. I can't.
Are you already hooked up to the sewer?
Say again?
Are you already hooked up to the sewer?
I'm on the sewer, yes. And it was at no cost if I bought the property. And so I'm on the sewer. But am I going to be attached to the 8th Street, which I think is phase one? Did Caracarucho get paid for putting in my sewer?
We'll need to follow up.
And then are you going to turn around and assess me again?
We'll learn more about your property and talk
to you
about
that. I want somebody to give me a piece of paper with a name and a time that I can meet with them and sure. Talk with them and hear what the heck they say. I don't know what you're doing.
Okay, well, we'll make arrangements for that. There's Raven's card. If you would give her a call.
I'll make an appointment.
Give her a call and make an appointment.
Hopefully I'll find out what you're going to do to me. And, you know, let it be 20 years from now. I won't be here. I'm already 90. Yeah. And you're going to assess me more? Or attach to the development project, IUD?
Well, why don't we leave it this way? Why don't you meet with Raven, and you'll find out exactly what the situation is, and we can take it from there.
All right. Thank you.
John, you're up again. Please state your name again.
John Liebert. I didn't look at my notes well enough. The four of you that came to that meeting was really appreciated by our neighborhood. And for the others, I mean, you found out tonight what went on last Monday night, and has been going on in our neighborhood for a long while. This is probably one of the more contentious things that's occurred in our community for a long time. I want to thank you for your consideration of giving everybody, you know, the opportunity to speak. I hope that there is some way to come to some kind of an agreement that will work as some kind of an appeasement. The fact that people have been living there for over 30 years and have been doing just fine, and now all of a sudden, this is a real shock, and it's a serious issue. And I thank the council and staff for listening patiently to these people who have genuine concerns.
Well, I certainly say on behalf of the council, we've certainly got a better appreciation of your situation. Again, I would encourage all of you to attend the public hearing and put your comments on the official record. I think it's very important that you do that. And Raven has another point here.
I just wanted to respond to the question about what was not collected in GFFs over the period from 2009 through the end of 2012. That was almost $1.1 million in revenue, of which $765,690.58 was sewer, and $325,697.61 was water.
Okay. Well, again, I thank you for coming. We certainly appreciate you taking the time, and we appreciate you providing the input that you provided, and we'll look forward to hearing from you again at the public hearing. And that will probably be April, and I would imagine that official notifications will go out. It'll be in the newspaper, and so you'll be given plenty of opportunity to find out the dates, and we'll look forward to hearing from you at that time.
So just a reminder to people that there is a list that was put on the side there for people to sign up in the event they feel they're not on our mailing list. But I also put a little box on the corner to check if you're planning on pursuing a deferral, and we'll follow up with you once we hear from the health department.
So make sure that you sign up if you're not on our current mailing list or you don't feel you're on our mailing list. Make sure you make sure that we have your name and address, and so that we can send you out the notifications. Alexis, do you have a question? Yes, ma'am. I'll let Raven respond to that. I know she knows how the letters went out.
So just relating to mailing list, we've made every effort that we can to update our mailing list. When we get a return to sender, we're in touch with the assessor's office. All of our data for property ownership and address comes from the county assessor. So if for some reason the assessor's data has an error, we'll have an error. In terms of the letters that were hand-distributed, Alexis, that was an oversight. It was a letter that we literally put in baggies because it was raining, and we wanted to get it out to people right away, and we sent our water crew out to pass them around the neighborhood. And because you're in the county, they did not realize, remember, you've been on sewer since the mid-90s. So it's a different mindset to the people that have been fronting the existing construction for the last 2 years. So I apologize.
and we're making every effort to contact them.
We do.
And we will make sure that all of those people that are on that list get a notification. And it also will be in the local newspaper. Okay? Okay, if no one has any objections, I'm going to go on to the next item on our agenda, which is our consent agenda.
Mr. Mayor, may I suggest a 5-minute break?
Yes, sir.
Oh, what a relief.
What a relief.